Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, and we've been educating our children with a distinctively Christian education as best as we can, by the grace of God, out here in the eastern plains of Colorado for 9 to 21, 22 years. Steve Vaughn, pretty similar, actually. Your children have been pretty much the same, tracking the same. Six kids.
I've
got five. And today we're going to talk about education. Christian education, and wow, a intense article from the Christian Post called The End of Christian Education. Sounds a little hyperbolic to me.
Wow.
Somebody who's not known to be all that hyperbolic myself.
Yeah, the epitome of hyperbole.
Yeah, I guess so. The epitome of hyperbole.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and I am committed to Christian education. My folks were.
Yeah.
My folks crossed over to Christian schools in the 1960s. I think it was about 65. My dad moved from public schools to Christian schools because of evolution, did not want to teach evolution in the public schools. He didn't even want to go there.
Yeah.
He was a biology teacher in a high schools out in Ohio, moved into some Christian schools in Oregon, and then moved off to homeschool us in the 1960s, late 60s, 69, 70. And then we were homeschooled throughout the 70s. And then in the 1980s, I got involved in talking to homeschool conferences around America. 1990s, my wife and I were married. We started homeschooling our kids, moved from California to Oregon, then off to Colorado, got here in 1992, and we've been homeschooling out here ever since. And we've also been trying to take on the issue of Christian colleges, because Christian colleges can be even more problematic, and a college can be more problematic than the K-12 schools, in that there are intense ideas being communicated all the time. It's one reason why we tried to bring a little bit of a challenge to the liberal arts university, the Christian college, in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, because we just looked at Christian colleges and said, sounds to me like the majority of Christian colleges will create more apostates. They will create more liberals. They will find more reasons why the Bible is not right. And they will undermine the epistemological and ethical centrality of God in his word. And they seem to be consistent at doing that. Now, there's a handful of colleges that have managed to maintain something of a conservative edge over the last 3 years, or 5 years, or 10 years, but it's doubtful that most Christian colleges will retain anything of a conservatism or a biblical epistemological commitment over the long haul. Why? Because they're rooted in Aquinas, and you need to get my book to get the story, friends. Now, not everybody agrees with me. Apostates don't agree with me.
Yeah.
Okay. Generally speaking, apostates don't agree with me. And people who want to be on the liberal edge of any denomination will typically not agree with me, because they are losing the orthodoxic edge. They're losing their orthodoxic edge. They're typically focused on minors and they lose the majors. They wind up straining at gnats and swallowing camels. And in the end, they create more apostasy. Okay. So that's the trajectory set by so many, and that's why the book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Well, this guy from Christian Post has written this article called The End of Christian Education, and he may have a point.
Yeah.
Let me read a little bit of it to you. Apparently, President Obama has recently signed an executive order making it illegal for federal contractors to discriminate against gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender employees. Now, what does that mean? What that means is where the federal dollars go. Wherever the federal dollars go, the federal government will not allow for any discrimination against homosexuals.
Wow.
Okay? That is in the hiring, the firing, etc. Okay? Now, he says here in the article, this is Michael Zigarelli. He says, it sounds innocuous enough, but an unintended consequence may be the closing of Christian colleges and schools. The order doesn't directly affect private education, but its unprecedented refusal to exempt religious organizations surely will. Without this exemption, the president has signaled to regulators it's open season on faith-based institutions. Kind of grim words.
Yeah. Yeah, that's to be expected.
They're coming after.
Yeah.
You know, and it is true, America's apostate nation, and it's hard to find conservatism in the churches anymore, or in the Christian colleges, for that matter. And because of this, we will receive some measure of persecution and pushback.
Yeah.
I think we'll see it. You know, he says, here's one possible future. The order says if you want federal money, you must hire gays. The U.S. Department of Education decides that this applies to federal financial aid as well. Students are then prohibited from using their aid at colleges that do not hire gays. Christian colleges go out of business. That's what he says. Now, there's already been a fair amount of pressure on Christian colleges who take the federal bennies. And there's only two or three colleges I know of that don't take the federal bennies. Grove City, Patrick Henry, maybe one or two others.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for them. It's, you know, you're going to wind up with the last 400 people in America who are just digging in and saying, I will not be a slave to the state. I will not take federal welfare. I will not, you know. It's just the last few free men alive in America attend some of these colleges. And there's some generous private donors involved, I know, in Patrick Henry and others. So we're thankful that there are some freedom-minded people. What the government funds, the government controls.
Exactly.
And we've been saying that in the homeschooling movement for a long time. Chris Klick has said all the way till he died, God bless his work.
Yeah.
He did some great work trying to whip up a little bit of commitment to freedom in America. And I think he was successful among several hundred thousand homeschoolers.
Yeah.
And I know that the majority probably, I don't know if it's the majority, it may be anywhere between 30 and 60% of the homeschool population, places like Alaska, Colorado, California, they go for the state monies to support their homeschools. They do. They're just used to it. And what the government funds, the government controls. And yeah, okay, the nose in the tent, the camel's nose in the tent doesn't do too much damage on the front end. But after a while, the camel's in the tent.
Yeah.
And there are homosexuals teaching your kids Bible in your nice little Christian colleges in Des Moines, Iowa, or anywhere else.
Yeah, it is just a scary thought. And what I think is going to happen is that a lot of the Christian colleges, just like you said, are going to say, well, we can't survive without the federal bennies, so we'll start hiring homosexuals. And that's, you know, that's just in the future.
He said it's already happened at Gordon College in Massachusetts. I've been to Gordon College.
Yeah.
I didn't attend there, but I was there for a Christian conference once. Yeah, it's a nice place.
Yeah.
Gordon College is out in the boonies and trees everywhere and old rural roads running by. It's kind of a neat place. Okay, so Gordon's president merely co-signed a letter requesting that the executive order exempt religious institutions. The secret police showed up immediately. The New England Association of Schools and Colleges is now reconsidering Gordon's accreditation.
Oh, wow.
As their decision goes, so goes Gordon, and so Gordon goes, so may go Christian higher education. All right. So that's what's happening with Christian colleges, and I'd say good riddance. Who needs the federal dollars? Yeah. And if you don't have the commitment to pay for your kid's own education, and you don't want to put your life, your liberty, and your sacred honor, and your fortunes on the line for the cause of a Christian education, you know, if you want to spend a few extra bucks, and you got to go for the federal dollars, gun to the head situation, and then submit your kids to all of the ideologies of the secular state, then I'd question your faith.
Yeah. There is no difference once you get the federal dollars and then they dictate the colleges and the rules and all of that. The name Christian college is not going to make any difference than a secular college.
Most Christian colleges aren't really engaged in the worldview war anyway. They're softy-wafty with it.
Yeah.
And that's the point I'm making in my book, Apostate. Ken Ham does the survey, finds out twice as many liberal arts professors in Christian colleges hold to old earth evolution versus the science department heads.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
I.e., the Gungors of the world.
Yeah.
Are going to maybe Christian colleges here and there. They're getting nicely indoctrinated into a liberal arts education. Twice as many liberal arts professors in Christian colleges. I'm not talking about secular colleges.
Right.
I'm talking about Christian colleges. Twice as many professors in these Christian colleges believe in old earth evolution versus the science department heads, not because the liberal arts guys know more about science, not because the Gungors of the world know more about science.
Yeah.
It's because they're liberal, because they can hardly wait to apostatize. That's not all of them.
Yeah.
It's not all of them. But that's the liberal arts department. And that's why my book, Apostate, I pulled the pin. I rolled the hand grenade into the garden party of the liberal arts university in America. You need to get the book Apostate into the hands of every college kid. I know there's pushback on the book, but you need to get this book. There's pushback because, hey, the majority have liberalized and they're destroying our nation. So, of course, they're going to hate my book Apostate. Get a copy of my book Apostate in the hands of every college kid you know. Every single one of them. And we'll give you, you get five, you get them for half price or something, but it's online. Okay, so my encouragement to these Christian colleges is to engage the battle. Stop the federal monies. And some will do that. Some will do that. Some will just take the federal money and say, who cares? We'll hire the homosexuals.
Yeah.
Some will do that. Probably the majority of them. I hate to be too negative.
Yeah. But with those who don't, support them.
Yeah. Those Christian colleges that won't take the federal monies and say, we're going to stand strong, we're going to maintain a distinctively biblical worldview, and we are going to fight back with everything we've got in every classroom, in every department, liberal arts, science. We're going to fight back. We're going to develop fangs. And we're going to fight the worldview war with everything we have. And forget the torpedoes. We're fighting this war to the end. Okay, there will be some that will do that. And they'll probably have to strip down. Okay? Yeah. If they're used to the federal monies and they got to get off the big mother pig, they're going to have to strip down.
Yeah,
they're
more
gonna,
online.
Might have to sell off half their lands.
Yeah.
Might lose half their students. Okay. Okay, whatever. You may have to go online.
Yeah.
That's okay, too.
Yeah.
All right. But we're not concerned here. Not at all. Come on down, Obama. You bring your requirement. No, nobody messing with the federal government's got to discriminate against homosexuality. Okay, we don't need your money. We'll forfeit your money. Now, of course, eventually they'll come after us at other angles, but so be it.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. All right, be back in just a moment with more, friends, as we talk about the worldview war that's going on Christian college campuses and a little more on my book, Apostate. Stay tuned. The program is Generations. Hey dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. How you disciple your son has everything to do with the relationship you have with your son. So don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our father-son retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this August. This year, we will be featuring speakers like Scott Brown, Dan Einerson, Mike Chappa, Steve Vaughn, and yours truly from the Generations Radio program. You'll enjoy outdoor activities, training sessions, including wilderness first aid, mountain survival, blood tracking, as well as sports activities, swimming, high ropes course, rock climbing walls, kayaking, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. And we're cutting the price for the 2014 Father-Son Retreat. It all happens August 28th through the 31st at the most fabulous retreat center in the Colorado Rockies. Register today for our Father-Son Retreat at check.org. That's CHEC.org. That's check.org under Check Events on the web. Or call toll-free 877-842-2432. That's 877-842-2432. We're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Steve Vaughn also here in studio with me. Steve, this is a pretty radical article, Into Christian Education, written by Michael Zigarelli. He's the editor for Christianity95.org, whoever that is. But he's just saying, hey, guys, this is what President Obama is doing with the executive order. Makes it illegal for federal contractors to discriminate on sexual orientation. And this is in line with everything else that's happened in suing and taking to court people that refuse to produce cakes and do photos for quote-unquote gay mirages.
Right.
And in this environment, this is what this guy says, Christian K-12 schools could also be fed to the lions. If religious exemptions disappear, which they now probably will, couldn't the Massachusetts Department of Education or any state DOE compel private schools to hire LGBT faculty to remain an approved school? Couldn't it mandate that school curricula promote LGBT acceptance? I can see that happening in California.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see that happening in some of the states. May not be all the states, but they're definitely putting the squeeze on Christian education. May affect K-12 schools as well. But Steve, let me say this, that I think it's time right now to forget federal benefits and forget about accreditation.
Yeah.
Forget about all that. But see, if we start doing that, we might have to revert to family economies.
Oh, no. That would be a good thing.
And if that happened, then our listeners would have to go to familyeconomics.com.
That would be okay.
That's a good time for a plug, right?
That, right.
Now, I know it's a full-court press, and we want to be out there. We want our kids out there. And as they are called, we want them into various aspects of society. But it appears that it's becoming increasingly difficult for us to disciple our kids, disciple our families, and at the same time make an impact on society. And if that conflict occurs, we're not going to kowtow to humanist education where our kids are taught homosexuality 101, 102, 201, 203, 301, 303, and free sex this and free sex that, and that's how they get their biology degree.
Yeah.
Okay, to be honest, I don't want to waste my time.
Right.
Do you? Do you want to waste your money and time and your kids' time?
No.
Going through the secular schools that are dumbing down education at every level, and again, bringing out a politically correct agenda, which concurrently breaks down the quality of the education, because that's just the way it works. If you don't teach the fear of God as the beginning of knowledge, friends, you're breaking down the education process. So if that happens, we may be locked out of some of the higher education accreditation systems. And if that be the case, we may have to develop family economic systems that take over the entire economy when everything goes bust.
Yeah, that would not be a bad idea. So start figuring out what you can do.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There will be ways, friends, to work the nooks and crannies of this thing. Trust me. There will be ways to eat vegetables, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, and survive this thing. Okay. So that, I talked a little.
That had to be a miracle.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could eat vegetables and survive. I have to have my meat.
Yeah. God will help you.
Thank you.
All right, my friends, before I'm done, I'm going back to Liberal Arts University. I want to see the Christian colleges across this country radically transformed by my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. We've had a couple of college professors, I think three or four college professors say, yeah, this is the way we need to be teaching. And I want this to go across the nation. Okay, we've already moved 7,000 copies. We've got to move 50,000 copies. Let's get this into the hands of thousands of college kids and college presidents and college professors, especially in the liberal arts departments across this country. I just got this note from a pastor, from an Orthodox Presbyterian church pastor out in Oregon. He said, last April, I received a phone call from a relative who likes to spend time with college-age young men. Been used over the years in outreach and discipleship with young men. He's a graduate from a Reformed seminary. So this guy obtained a copy of your book, Apostate. He used that as a tool for outreach to a particular young man. They met for multiple months reading and discussing your book. The young man was converted through your book.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. He was baptized about 2 months ago, publicly received into local church membership. Praise God.
That is a miracle. That is great.
Isn't that great?
That is wonderful.
Now, is it worth it to write a book, Apostate, challenging the ideas that these guys have learned? That, you know what, these are just simply taking on the ideas that have constructed the American religion, the American worldview, the American way of looking at things. And I'm taking on these ideas, and I'm calling people to a change of mind. That's what metanoeo is, a change of mind towards a man-centered way of looking at truth, reality, and ethics. And there are a lot of folks around this country who are supporting this book. And here's Peter Masters from Metropolitan Tabernacle out in London, the Charles Spurgeon's.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Church. Charles Spurgeon isn't around anymore.
That's
but
true.
Peter Masters is pastor out there. Warmly recommended. You will not find so much information conveyed in such a relevant, digestible way elsewhere. This will stimulate the reasoning of message preparers, student workers, Bible class leaders, and all who wish to see the roots of the worldview and thought patterns of our present age.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm encouraged. G.I. Williamson, retired minister of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, said this book doesn't say everything, but it says enough. As a concerned grandfather, I want all my grandchildren and great-grandchildren to read this book. And he bought a bunch of copies.
Yeah.
Okay. Doug Wilson's review. This is from Christchurch. He doesn't agree with the whole thing, but here's his assessment. He gave 4 stars. On Goodreads.com. 4 stars out of 5.
That's good.
Okay. This is a very fine book. In it, Kevin Swanson does something very similar to what Jones does in Degenerate Moderns, Paul Johnson Intellectuals. Swanson has a few weak chapters, Aquinas and Shakespeare, in my view. Okay, we'll have a chat about that sometime. Yeah. But where he has the background data at his fingertips, as he does for almost all the men in this book, his treatment is devastating. The subtitle is The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, and when we take higher education into account, we could add, and the Christians who enabled them. Okay, Curtis Bowers, the award-winning producer of Agenda, the movie's been on this program before.
Yeah.
So finally, a single book that clearly documents the gradual and purposeful fall of Western civilization from within. A must-read for all patriotic Americans that want to understand the who, how, and why of America's suicide. An incredibly interesting 500-year history of the strategy and influence of key men in their mission to dethrone God. Okay, so, and there's now 73 reviews on Amazon.
Wow.
That's a lot. And only about three are my friends.
Yeah. I haven't been on
you
there know,
you
yet.
You get a few friends up there. I recognize three names.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, I don't recognize. And so far, we're 4.4 on the 5 scale.
That's really good.
So I'm happy. Got some twos and some threes, but most of it's our fours and fives. Okay? And the criticisms are interesting. One of the criticisms is that Kevin Swanson places a heavy premium on the law of God. What? Too heavy for my liking.
For my liking.
Yeah, he doesn't like the law of God.
Yeah, okay.
I'd be a little careful on that one, though.
Yeah.
Because the law of God is appreciated by Christ.
Yeah.
Matthew 5:17-19. And the true believers at the end are those who keep the faith of Jesus and keep the commandments of God. So in the incredibly powerful battles of ideas that wage across the entire world, in the end times, which may extend for thousands of years, I don't have an end date. I don't do an end game when it comes to eschatology.
I'm working on
it. But, okay, well, let me know. No, don't let me know. Actually, don't let me know. I don't want to know.
When it happens, I'll come and say,
it's happening.
It's here.
It's here. Okay.
I got it.
But what defines the true believers are those who hang on for dear life to the faith of Christ and the commandments of God.
Yeah.
It's a both and I know that modern evangelicals hate the and. They hate the and. They don't like the distinct but not separate relationship, grace and law. They just hate it.
Yeah.
But that's my comment on that guy. The word gospel appears about 38 times in the book. He counted. I didn't realize that. It's good to know.
Yeah.
And he says, not once named associated with a true cure for the Christian West, all except for page, 225, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Many references to the gospel throughout. And yes, people must believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the end game. That's the end of the chat of the book. At the very end of the book, I get right to it and I say, hey, you've got to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. True Christians will be hanging on to the gospel, which is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I throw in the fact that he's on the right hand of the Father. They must hang on to that truth. And friends, I realize most people don't understand what the gospel is. Need to check it out, 1 Corinthians 15:1-3. Okay, here's this guy. I'm talking about reviews, somewhat negative reviews from Amazon.com. Mr. Swanson will find sinner after sinner to vilify, but not once, he will introspectively look at the church. He mentions the Spanish Inquisition, the Crusades, gospel by the sword approach. You know what? I didn't deal much with the apostasy of the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
There was a lot of it. From roughly 1100 into 1500, no, make that the year 2000.
Yeah.
I didn't deal with a lot of that.
Yeah.
Because I was dealing with the ideas that have infected the modern world.
Right.
More than the ideas that were affecting the world of the 16th century. Martin Luther, I felt, did a pretty good job with that, and John Calvin and others. So if you want to review the problems with the church as of 1600 AD or 1529 AD, then there's some good material on that. What I wanted was what has infected the ideas of the apostate Western world since then.
Right. Yeah, you can't write on everything.
Now, I point to the church as a problem.
Yes, you do.
In the book.
Yes, you do.
The church is a problem, but mainly the seminaries or the Christian universities that inevitably corrupted the church. Or almost inevitably corrupt the church. So I do deal with that. I think the seminaries have been a huge problem. And the method of education, the method and the content of education, and the basic philosophy of education in Christian universities, beginning with Oxford, Cambridge, and all the old universities, into Harvard, Princeton, Yale, and Wheaton and the modern universities and the modern liberal arts universities in which they will not bring together philosophical knowledge and sacred knowledge. They separate them. They are different in kind, and therefore they refuse to bring the word of God to bear in liberal arts classes and engage true worldview war.
Yeah.
And that's what I do in the book. So answering the second point made by this gentleman on Amazon, I do point to the church. I believe the church is a problem. And the church produces much of this via their seminaries.
Yeah.
It's the way they're educating their future pastors that has corrupted the church again and again and again. And that's why, towards the end of the book, I talk about how we're going to restructure the form of education for pastors.
Right.
It has to be a discipleship model. It has to be. That's why our ultimate battle right now is in the area of education. Keep the Faith, Volume 1, is on education. It's basically challenging the modern conception of education by way of the early church fathers and a huge number of fathers who've written over about 1,900 years until we've seen the modern corruption of the church. He also says, because he comes up against the ad hominem arguments, and this is one argument brought against the book, because I say, by their fruits ye shall know them. Mm-hmm. And not just the fruits in their own lives. I'm looking at the fruits in their kids' lives, and I'm looking at the fruits in their adherents' lives.
Right.
You know, into the next 30 years and 100 years and 150 years. I think those fruits are important.
Yes, they are.
I really think what Stalin did, what Lenin did, what Mao did, is a reflection on Marx. By their fruits ye shall know them. I think that's legitimate. Now, this one guy doesn't like that. See, a lot of people hate the ad hominem. Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about here.
Yeah.
But my understanding of logic is always curtailed and limited by scriptural revelation. And I know that bothers people too, because there Kevin goes again. He wants to limit Aristotle and Aristotle's logic by scripture and by the teachings of Christ. And they don't want that. Okay, so he says, I could only imagine a skeptic or atheist using the same test against Abraham, Jacob, King David, and King Solomon. And then he brings in my quote, why it's important to know that Marx's daughters committed suicide, that Rousseau abandoned his five children on the steps of an orphanage, that Ernest Hemingway wished to kill his father and then took his own life. He doesn't like that. But there is a difference between King David and Hemingway.
Is there?
There's a difference. You know what it is? Psalm 51.
Yes.
That's a huge difference.
There's some repentance there.
You got it. A man's life is not judged. And this is a huge part of the book. I judge a man's life and work by trajectory.
Right.
Everybody say trajectory. 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 I'm not looking at isolated incidents of his life. I'm looking at the trajectory of Nathaniel Hawthorne all the way to the end of his life when he says some of the most nihilistic things a man has ever said. I do the same thing with Nietzsche and Darwin and others. See, a man's life will either represent repentance or apostasy. And apostasy is known by the trajectory of a man's life and his work. And by the way, the fruits of his work as well. Okay, so I don't think there's much there in that man's criticism.
Yeah, and that's even in Ezekiel. Our family's going through Ezekiel right now. And there's a couple chapters before where we're at now. It talks about how if a man starts off really good, but then he apostates, basically, he goes down, then all the good things, you know, quote-unquote good things that he did before will not be remembered. He'll be remembered for how he ends the race. And if somebody starts off, rejecting God and rejecting his truth, however, comes around, then all of the bad stuff that he had done will be forgotten by God, and how he ends the race is how he's being judged. And so that's, yeah, what you're talking is the trajectory of their life.
Trajectory of a man's life is important. Faith and repentance, essential as our conversion. And of course, it's ultimately the grace of God and the righteousness of Christ that covers
Amen.
Us on that day.
Amen.
Now, I have a fair amount of pushback from some folks over the fact that I point to satanic influence in this world. Some apparently don't like to think that Satan influences. Now, some have accused me of saying that I'm relieving these men of responsibility because they've been used by Satan. And I wouldn't do that at all. I believe that I point to these men's responsibility, their individual moral responsibility for their own decisions throughout the book. So I'm not relieving them of that responsibility.
Yeah.
So that's a red herring. But apparently some are bothered by the fact that I point to satanic influence. But I do because there are some that literally themselves refer to Satan, as in Mark Twain, refer to Satan.
Yeah.
Now, some will come back and say, yeah, but he wasn't serious. But look at what he writes.
Yeah.
What he writes is satanic. It is the most wicked stuff anybody has written, as far as I can tell. There are examples of it throughout Scripture. Now, some have said, well, Satan doesn't use evil men in Scripture. Well, actually, he does in the case of Judas.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, was one of the prototype apostates.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So everybody get it. Everybody get it. All right. So anyway, there's been a little pushback relating to some of this stuff. But I think Satan has been very much involved in all of this. The demons have been involved,
mm-hmm.
admitted to be so by guys like Nathaniel Hawthorne. Now, this shocks people. They can't believe that there's a Satan in the world and that even the bad guys, the apostates themselves, acknowledge Satan's involvement at some level.
Yeah.
And no question in my mind, Karl Marx, some of the most hair-raising quotes I have in the book are Karl Marx in his poems and plays and how he refers to Satan and his involvement with Satan to bring about some of the most massive destruction this world has seen. And the roots have to be somewhere. They have to be, yes, in a man's heart. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers,
mm-hmm.
against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And who are they? Satan and the demonic world. Hello? And these beings are very real. And I know as you read the book, you finally get a feel for the realness of the spiritual world. Now, that's very, very difficult for people who've been indoctrinated into a naturalistic worldview. They're not. They have a very hard time coming back into the supernaturalistic worldview because they've been trained in secular universities and K-12 schools for a very long time in a naturalistic way of looking at things. And so they're shocked to determine that, to find out that there has been a satanic influence over 300 to 400 years.
Yeah.
And I think I have solid biblical backing for that. And so, friends, you need to get a copy of this book, Apostate, an expose of the men responsible for the decline and fall of Western civilization.
It's a great book. I ended up buying copies for all of my speech and debate club.
Yes, you did. And I want to thank you for that.
Yeah. So I still have some left for this year and might need to buy another case and a half of them here.
Well, I want to get them out. want to get them out. We've got 43,000 to go, my friends. So help us as we engage the war of the worldviews and work very hard to hopefully salvage college kids and to bring some to repentance and true faith in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for them. Friends, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about hopefully bringing about salvation for our kids, our grandkids, and our great-grandkids. Ladies and gentlemen, get the book at generationswithvision.com or kevinswanson.com. And as I said, you order bulk, you'll get a reduction price to 50% off. You can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. And get apostate at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.